Thank y'all. It's good to be with you here at this meeting. Always love coming to the fellowship meeting. Love coming to Little Union. I just like Brother Danny. I like being in church. So we're in a good place. We've already been blessed. If the Lord doesn't bless me, we can say we've been in the kingdom, and we've got a lot to be thankful for. Brother Danny preached everything that I believed, and he said it just right. He talked about what I would consider to be the fundamental doctrines and what those doctrines mean and the teachings of them. Kind of reminds me of what I like to talk about to y'all is what's the end result of it all. He touched on it at the end. A few months ago, we were at church. We have lunch every Sunday. That's in our Articles of Faith in the state of Texas. You shall have lunch every Sunday. We want to be Orthodox, and so we do. And then after lunch, the brethren will sit around and they'll talk. So we were eating, talking. And one of our deacons said, "Brother Dave, how come we don't ever sing that song anymore?" I said, "What song?" He said, "Well, you know that song, the old rugged cross. That's the song." All right. Now hold your opinions, okay? Don't let me know how you feel about that song until after I leave on Saturday. All right, I don't hear it. I'm not interested. But this brother liked that song, okay? I said, "Well, if you like it so much, we'll sing it next Sunday." So when we got to church next Sunday, we looked for it. It wasn't in our book. We used two books at Fredericksburg. It wasn't in either of them. He's a little disappointed. I said, "Well, I'll find it. It's not in any current songbook in use by the Primitive Baptists or currently being published." So in my own strange way of putting things together, that led to the sermon I'd like to preach to you tonight. So what's wrong with it? You know, we sing that one song, "Must Jesus Bear the Cross Alone?" I think it talks about a crown in that song. But I like the way it ends. It says, with joy I'll cast my, golden crown and his dear name repeat," which is just what those 24 elders did in the book of Revelation. They had crowns, but when the Lamb came, they cast their crowns off and they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb." But then I think about something the Apostle Paul said. This is found in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Start reading in verse 6. He says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." I believe he's talking about the end of his life. He's going home. He's going to glory. "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Now, verse 8 is very important. It's very important of what it says. And if we change the first word to another biblical word, it would change everything about what we believe. The Apostle Paul likes to use the word therefore a lot. Aren't you glad he didn't start verse 8 with the word therefore? Because if he did, then I guess the only ones that could have a hope in heaven would be the ones who could say, just like he did, I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. But he didn't say, therefore. He said, henceforth. Now that changes everything. And it ought to make you feel good. Henceforth. What does he mean? He means, here's what I'm focused on. This is what's awaiting me. What's awaiting you? Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. I'm glad he keeps going, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Now the Apostle Paul said, there is, that's pretty positive. There's no doubt in his mind, there is laid up, that means it's in store, it's reserved for me. There's something waiting for me. What is it? A crown of righteousness. A crown of righteousness. It's not a literal crown. It's something better than that. Is that all some people want in heaven? Is a literal crown? Don't sell heaven that short. This is a metaphor. And it's I love what's happening. The inspiration of God is using human language to describe the indescribable. And the only thing that we can do is see what these words are and understand what they're saying. Because there was a time, I believe the Apostle Paul was there, whether in the body or out of the body. But he said, I believe he's talking about himself, that he was literally in paradise. All right? And he said, I heard unspeakable words and things that are unlawful for a man to utter. I think he's saying, I can't describe it. There's no words to describe it. The inspiration of God says, don't even try. And then, at the end of his life, the inspiration of God says, oh, go ahead and do it. So now he's doing it. You can't predict these things. We're not in charge. We're not in control. But we can, let's notice it. That's what's happening. Paul said, I can't do it. And then, oh, go ahead and do it. All right? I'm gonna give it my best shot. Inspiration says, no, just let me. I got this. All right. What do you got, inspiration? It's a crown of righteousness. Is that what? That's what it is. That's what it is. That's what you're going to get. That's awaiting us. All that love is appearing. The only ones who are going to love is appearing are the elect of God. According to Brother Danny Parker. Amen. Amen. What he said. So if you love the Lord, that's an indication that you're a child of God. Be very thankful. Be very glad. Go to church. Give him all the glory because he deserves it. Now, when you get to glory, when you get to paradise, when you get to heaven, there is laid up for you a crown of righteousness. That is a metaphor that is trying to describe what cannot be described. And so the word that we focus on is the word crown. And people get hung up and they think it's literal and that's what we're going to have. It's better than that. And what this means, what the crown means, what a crown means. It means the greatest, the best. You can't go any higher than this. There's nothing beyond this. This is the greatest of all things. Now, I was watching a documentary just this morning, waiting on my plane. I was watching a documentary. And it was on President Carter. Why were you watching that, Brother David? It was the only thing on. It was the only thing on. I was watching a documentary about Jimmy Carter. And you never know where you're going to get sermon points. And I got it from this documentary. Because it talked about the Camp David Accords of 1978, I believe it was. And the narrator of the documentary said, and that was President Carter's crowning moment. And then pause, but it didn't last long. Isn't that the way it is in life? When they said that was his crowning moment, that means this was as good as life or his presidency ever got. It never got beyond this point. And it didn't last long. It reminds me of that song that we sing, the few lucid moments that dawn on us here. They are often surrounded or beclouded with fear. This may be the best meeting you'll ever go to. Until you get to the best meeting you'll ever go to. This may be this weekend, this experience, this fellowship meeting, may be the crowning moment, but it won't last long. But this one will. Because, and it even as good as this may be, it cannot equal the glory and the splendor of heaven where Jesus is. When we see Him face to face, and when we are like Him, when we are fashioned like Him, when we can know Him, when we can know even as we are known. What a day. What a day that will be. And a day that will never end. That is a crown, my friends. That's what we're looking forward to. And it's henceforth. It's what's waiting for us. And so I begin to think, the scriptures are our only rule of faith and practice. And it ought to guide our thinking and shape our opinions and give us the right information about the right things. And so I wanted to, does the scriptures say anything else along these lines? Does it use these metaphors? Because, you know, that's what it is. That's what it is. There's not a literal crown. There is glory in heaven. And so I thought about that. And you brethren will think of more and please tell me later. But since I'm the one preaching, I get to tell first. And so in the book of Philippians chapter 3 and the... I'll find it in a second. Philippians chapter 3 verse 14, starting in the middle of a thought. The Apostle Paul, he's summing up his life. And he says, I press toward the mark. That's a finish line. Okay, he's talking about like running a race. I'm running to the finish line. I press toward the mark for something. What? He said, for the prize. Stop reading. Thank you, Brother Gary. Stop reading. I press toward the mark. For what? What's the mark? The finish line. What's at the finish line? The prize. Oh, I don't like that, Brother Montgomery. That sounds Arminian to me. That's what the inspired Word of God says it is. But no, but brother, no, don't Brother Montgomery inspiration here. Okay, because let us consider the words that are being used. The word prize has about 8 different meanings. 7 of whom do not apply in this text. 1 of whom which does. The word prize means that which is obtained by performance. Still sounds Arminian, doesn't it? It depends on whose performance you're talking about. It's not our performance. It's not our good running. It's not our good race. It's not our good sportsmanship. It's not how good we live. Does it matter? Of course it matters. But not as far as heaven and eternal glory is concerned. That, my friends, has to be done by somebody who doesn't have to worry about messing up, sinning, and things like that. Somebody beyond sin is going to take care of that. For justice to be done. It makes sense. It's logical. It's reasonable. Who do you think you are that you could overcome your sin to the point that you deserve the glory of heaven? You don't think that much of heaven then, do you? It's too glorious for us to gain by our own works. But it is a prize. It's a glorious prize. And it was obtained by the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He gives it to us. And Paul said, I'm pressing toward it. As Brother Danny said, it's closer now than it was yesterday. And it's getting closer all the time. And it can't get here soon enough. I like to finish this meeting up yonder. And there's no finish up there. That's the mark. That's at the mark. That's the prize. That's the crown. Now, let's read. Now, Brother Gary, let's finish reading the scripture, shall we? He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. These things that it's telling us, put the loftiest of circumstance and situation, the high calling of God, that's in Jesus Christ. That tells me that prepositional phrase, in Christ or in Jesus Christ, tells us everything. Because it is election. It is redemption. And put in place, it's glorification. It's everything that God desires for His people and that will happen to every single one of them. And that's all we can say is thank you, Lord. Because what was there in you that could merit esteem? Or give the Creator delight? Are you that good? You're not, because there's none that doeth good. How many is none? Well, in case you want to get it right, Paul said, no, not one. That's not too many people, is it? All right, so it's a crown. It's a prize. I've got 12 minutes, Brother Chris. He's getting nervous. 12 minutes. I love to make Brother Chris nervous. The Apostle Paul in this same chapter said, "For our conversation is in heaven." There's another word. And of course, we know that that word conversation means our citizenship. That's where we belong. That's home. That's where we're going. We're not home here. This is not home. This is temporary. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Somebody finds a fountain of youth. Do you want it? Will you drink it? Not me. Job said, "I would not live always." What he means is, I don't want to live here always. But he will live always in a better place. When you get there, you'll want to live always. All right? Because that is a place of peace and love where Jesus is. And that we are already, by the finished work of Christ, citizens of paradise, citizens of heaven, citizens of that country. That country. We're going home, friends. We're going home. Had a deacon there at Little Vine Church. I don't think he was a deacon, actually, but he acted like one. Brother Richard Ellis. Should have been ordained. At any rate, me and my dad went to go see Brother Richard on his deathbed. My dad said, "How you doing, brother? Brother Richard?" He pointed up and he said, "Home." That was all he could say. That was all he needed to say. He wasn't home here. He's going home. We're going home, friends. I'm but a stranger here. Heaven's my home. I want to go home. How about it? I tell you what, Paul said, our conversation, our citizenship, that's the same as the prize. That's the same as the crown. It's in heaven. And he said, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he's able even to subdue all things unto himself. What a prize. What a crown. What a citizenship. What a prize. One more. One more. This is in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. You know, some of y'all like the camp, don't you? I do not understand you. Amen. My version of roughing it is Motel 6. Some of y'all like to get in a tent. I do not understand you. I never will. Don't get with me after church. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear anything you got to say about tent. Why would you want to do that? Why would you? I like to go out and see nature and then go get in a nice bed. But, okay, all right. Maybe Brother James likes to go camping. Okay. See, even Brother James doesn't like to go camping. But when you have boys, you're going to take them camping. It's just what you got to do. I don't know why, but you got to do it. And I've learned if you make it so miserable, they'll never ask you to take them camping again. Because you're there and you think, this is just, okay, it has its merit, but I'm ready to go to the house. Life, this world, is like camping. We're in a tent. That's what he said, this tabernacle. Right. Earthly house of this tent, this tabernacle, were dissolved. Guess what? You got something better. You got a building. Who built it? A God. A house. A house not made with hands. You had nothing to do with it. You can't take credit for it, but you do take ownership of it. Because it's a gift. It's a prize. It's the crown. It's your citizenship. It's your birthright through the Holy Spirit given by God Himself. It's waiting for you. Amen. Can't wait. A building of God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. They say nothing lasts forever. Oh, I know a few things that are going to last forever. I'm going to last forever. How about you're going to last forever? Because we're going to be forever with the Lord. Amen. Isn't that what He said? And together they will be with the Lord. May God bless you. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.